Today, Santa's ESG dilemma. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. I'm pleased to say there's a collab going on with Damien from Nucleus. Well, hi, happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Matt.
It's a good day to have a bit of a thought about Santa and his dilemmas because the ESG thing ain't going to plan.
No, that's right. It's the naughty and the nice list, as we like to say. You know, it's how do you get on the naughty list? How do you get on the nice list? What does it mean? And what's Wall Street done with it is the other thing. You know, that's one thing to have these naughty and nice lists, but if there's anything that Wall Street is good at doing is making a buck. And so, we thought we'd dive into that and discuss how they're manipulating your desire to be ethical into making more money for themselves.
Well, let's talk about what ESG means: environmental, social, and governance investing, which means trying to be responsible, which means trying to actually make sure that your money is going into things that are actually supporting those ideals. But it's not as straightforward as it may first appear. And as you say, Wall Street and other players in other countries as well, they're rather crueling the pitch.
Yeah, that's right. And so just a quick summary, I guess, in big picture sense is ESG. So we're basically environmental is relatively obvious, you know, people who are destroying the environment or causing harm to the environment are sort of negatively screened, and ones that are helping are positively. Social is more about interactions with society and things like that. So it might be things like gambling or alcohol or other things where it's like, okay, this is causing problems to society and how much of a problem or little of a problem. And the governance one is probably that's one we think's got more an actual performance bent into it, which is, you know, are companies actually, you know, do they have standards where, you know, the management isn't allowed to trade pre-announcements and they've got, boards that are diverse. It's not just driven by one person on the board. There's actually a variety of opinions and they have sort of goals and standards around those. And yeah, so that's the sort of broad sense for it. And then how it gets used, yeah, very much changes by person.
So when people talk about ethical investing, are they talking about this ESG? Is that what they mean?
Probably, yeah. Some people will talk about the ethical investing differently, but typically they're talking more about the environmental and the social side for ethical. But and then there'll be sometimes the ethical, like there's positive screens, there's negative screens. So you can basically say, I'm going to try and find companies that are doing positive things. And that tends to be more typical, what you might say is an ethical. And then you'll have ones where they're basically saying, well, we're going to cut out the companies that don't do the bad things. And there's also a sort of a relative sense in there, which we're seeing fewer of them now because they get a lot of outcry. But it's the idea that saying, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy for you, Martin, some gas companies. And you're like, just a minute, I thought, you know, I thought gas is bad. We're trying to get down the list of, you know, environmental problems. And you're like, well, yeah, but it's not as bad as tar sands. It's not as bad as oil.
Exactly.
So I haven't bought those ones, but I have bought this one for you. And so there's a lot of those that sort of do that relative part about, we're buying weapons manufacturers, but we're not buying the nuclear weapons manufacturers but we're still buying the other ones. And so, and that one often feels, I think a lot of people have problems with those ones when they actually discover them, what's going on. But yeah, there are multiple different ways that ethical fund managers can run these portfolios. Big picture wise, for a lot of fund managers who are running ethical portfolios, they've got very little say in the actual ethics. What will happen is they'll have an outside body that will basically say, you know, there's, for example, my global universe is about 1,500 stocks, the biggest stocks in the world. And they'll come to an ethical manager and go, right, you're not allowed to buy the 1,500. You're only allowed to buy 800 of those. Now go out and beat the guys that can buy 1,500. And so that's the one that's like, well, just a minute, I've got one hand tied behind my back trying to, yeah. And so that's where, you know, from our perspective, you want to try and, you want to cut out the stuff you don't want, but, you know, often it doesn't have to be from, you don't have to halve your universe. Yeah. You can sort of just cut a few sectors out that you genuinely don't want access to.
So let's play a little mind game then. Let's talk about the ghosts of Christmas past. If you'd actually followed the Wall Street ethical investing strategy for Santa, what would Santa be doing?
Yeah, well, first of all, he'd be charging you some pretty hefty fees. So, I spoke about that, the fund manager who, can't invest in 1,500 stocks, he can only invest in 800 stocks. Well, chances are he's charging you a higher fee. So it's sort of, and the question is why? He's out there buying stocks, but it's the same. He's got fewer stocks to look at. He's still putting them into the same fund, but he's going to charge you more for the pleasure of it. And it's because people are used to paying it. You know, if you go to the shop and you're thinking, oh, will I buy the eggs that are barn laid ones or the cage ones or the free range ones? Well, I'm expecting to pay more for the free range ones. And so I think people have this expectation of buying an ethical fund. Well, of course, I must pay more for it. And so, I'm posing the question, maybe the ethical fund should be a little bit more ethical with the way they charge fees.
So what you're saying is there's an extra price green wrapping paper.
Exactly. That goes around them.
Excellent. Yes. What else do we need to think about then from this perspective?
Yeah, so the next one's the nuances, and we sort of talk about this whole peace on earth, but maybe you need some weapons for it as well. And so the Ukraine war in particular has sort of really brought that to the fore in terms of saying, okay, yes, we want peace on earth. Maybe I don't want to be buying weapons manufacturers, but actually maybe the ones that are providing the weapons to the Ukrainians to help keep the Russians, maybe I don't mind those ones.
Or defensive weapons are fine.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's this thing about the whole nuance of this. And we typically find when we look at, we've got sort of, thousands of investors who have sort of over the years have bought in and chosen what they invest in. And typically we find is the older investors who tend to be the anti-war. Mm-hmm. Younger investors tend to be more sort of anti-climate change. But we have seen since the Ukraine war that the number of anti-war people who choose the anti-war has actually been decreasing a little in terms of there's people just saying, well, yeah, I didn't want this, but actually maybe I can see the reason for having these defense companies now.
So I suppose that means that if you actually have a stronger ethical view, it would mean that a lot of those so-called ethical funds who are now investing in some aspects of defense are effectively watering down the fundamental thought.
Actually what we generally found is actually probably the opposite in that most ethical funds are one size fits all. They're right. Basically, and I think this is this problem that I think is probably a political problem as well, certainly seen as a political problem, I think for a lot of people on the left is, well, from the perspective of the people on the right, there's this idea that, once you've decided to be woke, you've got to fall in line with everything. If you're going to be anti-climate change, you also need to be anti-war and pro-LGBT and you need to, you need to have every single lineup, and otherwise you're cancelled if you don't fall in line exactly with all the thought pattern. And I think that's where the rise of Trump, has sort of, that's something he's been tapping into. And it is this idea that, I guess what we're saying is that we use the climate change and beer example is saying, well, you might like drinking beer, but you also want to do something about climate change. Well, don't invest in these ethical funds because most of them will say, well, alcohol's out. Alcohol, tobacco, beer, wine, you go through the list and it's just like, well, this is the sort of the list that we've got. And so we're just cutting stuff out. And so that's where, I think what we're saying is there needs to be nuance within that. And, investors need to look at what they're prepared to buy and what they're not prepared to buy. And it really shouldn't be decided by a fund manager somewhere or the marketing department of one of these big Wall Street banks shouldn't be deciding what your ethics are. We think it should come back to the individual investors and actually making a nuanced decision about what you're prepared to make money from and what you're not.
So the interesting point there is that what it means is the naughty list, we'd call it that, is very much more subjective than you might first think when you start pulling it apart. And I suppose there's a political overlay and there's an economic overlay and a social justice overlay, but it's actually not just one size fits all.
Yeah, exactly. And great example is nuclear power. Like for some people, two people can be trying to do what they can about climate change. One of them's a keen investor in nuclear power and wants it more. And the other one's like, no, this is nuclear power's worse. It's going to cause more problems. And so, that is that something you really want defined by, a fund manager on Wall Street or as I said, the marketing department of one of these funds, or is this something that is actually, should be coming down to the person making the investments, in terms of the decisions. Yeah.
And I suppose the other point here is, if you do actually narrow your aperture and only invest in certain categories, what does that do to overall returns? Does it reduce them?
Yeah, so this is a common one we often get from people, and you speak to people and they'll be like, oh, can I just buy all the bad ones because I want my portfolios to go up, and the answer is, well, no, because not that you can't buy all the bad ones, of course you can if you want, but it's not, there's definitely not a surefire way to get returns by doing it that way. So the issue is, like, if everyone knew that tobacco stocks were going to go down for a certainty, well, what's going to happen is sophisticated investors will go out there and short sell those stocks and push the share price down. And so, and then, you know, short sell that, buy the rest of the market and make this riskless profit. And so there's this whole thought about, well, what do you actually believe? If you believe the market is pretty efficient in terms of its pricing, then you're actually just as likely to make a gain as you are a loss on this. And one of the things I really notice is, if there's a bad year, basically most ethical funds and ESG funds don't have a lot of oil, and that's the biggest sector they're out of. And so, in the years where the oil goes down, what these funds all outperform, and you see all these articles pop up saying, "Oh, you can have your cake and eat it too. Look at these ethical funds; what a great outperformance they have versus the rest of the market." And then the next year, oil outperforms, and the opposite happens, and everyone's like, "Oh, yeah, see, you're too woke, and you lose money." And it's this thought behind saying, well, you know, people knew exactly what the oil price was going to do. Well, they would have traded it beforehand. So if you're sort of taking this view that that sectors are sort of priced relatively efficiently as to what people know at the time, and that's what's going to drive the future returns, then for a lot of these, you're just as likely to make a gain as what you are to make a loss. And typically, especially for the ones we find where when people actually have the choice to choose what they want to cut out and what they don't want to cut out, they tend to cut out a couple of things, and often that might be stuff that just hardly affects the portfolio at all, and the returns basically end up being pretty much what the market would have given you. Like you basically plus or minus a tiny bit versus the market. Maybe 0.5% or 1% versus the market, and so really not a big difference. And as I said, you just can't tell which direction it's going to go. And if you could tell what direction it was going to go, others would be out there trading that.
Well, that's very interesting, because what it means is you're not automatically giving up returns. But I suppose also there is no standard tick list of you must invest in those, and you shouldn't invest in those. It's much more fuzzy. It's much more tailored. And I suppose that means you can be your own Santa and create your own Santa list.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got your list. You can check it twice and work out who's, what's on it and what's not on it. And I do want to sort of make a larger point as well, is that what you're doing in your investments, it makes a little bit of a difference, but don't sort of kid yourself that you've solved, I've solved the world's problems. Oh, I didn't buy the oil stocks, in my portfolio, therefore, my job on climate change is done. It's much bigger than that. And there are sort of some real concrete steps that I sort of have a list in order of what I think actually makes a difference. And, the top of that list is make a donation. Like if you want to talk about buying a company or not buying a company, if you actually go out and make a donation to the project you're trying to help, that's actually genuinely going to help that project. You get to, especially if it's might be a new technology or something like that, that's sort of got, quite high capital risks and things like that, at least you get a tax deduction up front, Now you can't donate to companies, but I'm assuming if you're doing this for an ethical reason that, there'll be some sort of industry body or something like that that you can actually genuinely donate to, and that's actually going to make a difference to that. And the people involved in the research are going to much prefer that, you've donated to their cause. So that's sort of the number one thing: make a donation. Second one is go out and lobby regulators or legislators. That makes a bigger difference. So me deciding that I'm not going to buy a gaming company in my portfolio makes almost no difference to the gaming company. Me going out and lobbying my local politicians to tell them to stop showing ads on TVs and make sure do more about problem gamblers, that makes a much bigger difference than me doing something in my investments. So that's sort of the two big ones. The third one, really important: boycott the product or buy the product, whatever it is, whichever one you want. So most companies care more about having another customer than they do having another shareholder. And the companies that don't care about, that care more about having a shareholder than a customer, they're the ones you don't want to invest in anyway. And so, if it's something like, solar panels or wind power or something like that, you actually going out and buying solar panels or you using wind power, that's going to make a difference. You being a shareholder is going to be, a much smaller difference on the end. So that's sort of your three big ones. And then you get into the actual investment side. On the investment side, if you're buying shares in a capital raising or an IPO or something that's actually going into the investment. So say I'm interested in battery technology, or I'm interested in something like that, where I'm saying, okay, here's a company which is raising money in order to open a new lithium mine, or raising money in order to do some research and development or something like that. Me going and giving that money, that's more helpful. The company needs more money. I'm actually helping them on, by doing that. The least important one is me going, oh, I'm going to go and, I'm going to buy your lithium share from you, Martin. And so, maybe I've pushed the share price up a tiny bit, but the net effect is I've just taken my money and given it to another shareholder out in the market. The company's not even involved. And so, or if I'm selling the stock, the same thing, I'm selling my stock to another investor out there. I'm really not influencing the company in any real meaningful way. And so, yeah, five different ways you can help out. I'm not saying you shouldn't use this in it. I greatly encourage people to do it within the portfolio. I do think, particularly for people who have strong feelings about, whatever it is, problem gambling or cancer or smoking, there's lots of different reasons people can have strong feelings about it. And they're like, look, I don't care if I don't make money or not. I just don't want to know that I'm the one out there making money off kids, vaping. Or I just want to know I'm not the one making money off problem gamblers. That's a really valid sort of emotion people can have. But don't sort of kid yourself that you're solving the problem. It's helping, but it's not the, go out and do, if you genuinely care about it, go out and do more.
Yeah, so there's basically the direct investing thoughts, which we touched on earlier on, but then these other things too. And I suppose the final thought I had was that if you are actually wanting to build your own portfolio, you can either do it sort of through some of the different index funds and things, or you could build your own portfolio directly and pick specific stocks that you might want to get into. And I suppose one of the things about the platform that Nucleus Wealth has, both through Nucleus Wealth and What the World Funds, is that flexibility to be able to actually go one way or the other way or a combination.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of it for us is about saying, we're doing all the baskets for you. So you want to buy a bunch of gold stocks, global gold stocks. It's like, yeah, here's a basket of gold stocks for you. You can just throw them straight in, you own them directly. Or you want to buy, you're interested in uranium. Here's six or eight uranium stocks. You can get the global stocks that are involved in that, or battery supply chains. So like, you just tick the box and we manage that list for you. And then you've got the different overlays where you can cut stuff out as well. And so, yeah, very much that idea that we want to let people have these themes and be involved in what's happening in the portfolio. And it doesn't have to be an entire portfolio. Like for most people, it's like saying, well, there's a core portfolio we're going to buy for you, which is global 75 stocks or global or Australian stocks. We'll put them all together, and then you'll sort of cut out the ones you don't want, add in a few more themes that you do like. Give me some more gold stocks. Give me some more uranium. Give me some more cybersecurity. And then, you've got a portfolio that is managed, but that it's diversified and it's got all those extra benefits. And other people are making sure that when stocks come in and go out, that they're being bought and sold as part of that portfolio.
Brilliant. Well, I think that's a really interesting Christmas thought for people. And whilst they're sitting down, relaxing after the great day, think about your investments, think about your stance, ethically speaking, and think about what you can do and how potentially we can help. Damien, thank you very much. And I think we should wish all our viewers, listeners, and followers a happy Christmas, but also may your returns be high and your fees be low over the next 12 months.
Well said, Martin. Thanks.
Thank you. See you soon.